Good evening, everyone. This is the Fakeologist Show coming to you from the North Shore of Lake Ontario and Toronto, Ontario, USSR tonight. It is, what day is it today? Thursday, April 7th, 2022. It's 8:10 p.m. Eastern Daylight Saving Time. It's the end of the week for the Fakeologist Show. What a week it's been. Guest after guest after guest. And some of them are even recurring, like tonight's guest, Tiago, calling in from the eastern shores of Canada, Kanuckistan in Sydney, Nova Scotia. Tiago, welcome.
Beautiful to be here. I'm glad you're playing Canada's new national anthem.
On your request, the national anthem of the USSR. And the top comment, other than the authors, is I blasted this in my private school. It is now a public school. 172,000 thumbs up. That's got to be the most commented or liked comment I've ever seen on any YouTube video. And the video has 89 million views. So people do look that from however many years ago. Why isn't the date on this thing? It doesn't show the date of upload anymore on YouTube.
I know. I hate that. I hate it. When I watch videos, I want to know when it was posted.
Yeah. What are they doing? They're always goofing around. They're always making, wait, Eva, yeah, they're always goofing around with things, screwing things up. Anyway.
Nonsense.
16 hours ago, the guy edited the top comment. That's interesting.
There's another powerful, I think it's Russian, if I'm not mistaken. I was having a hard time finding it the other day, but I actually found it. Alex Jones played a clip of it, and I said, man, well, that's a really beautiful song. Do you want to listen to it?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. Sure. Here,
you're listening to Alex Jones?
Yeah, well, I was listening to the segment on Gerald Celente was on there. He was on there for 40 minutes, so I was just watching.
Yeah, you like him a lot.
Oh yeah, he's awesome. So the song is called Fortune Plango Vulnera.
Plango, yeah.
Yep, P-L-A-N-G-O, Vulnera, V-U-L-N-E-A-N-E-R-A. Yeah.
What's that about?
It's just a very powerful instrumental music. I think it's Russian. Mm-hmm. That's how you should start your podcast.
Got lots of Latin in there. It's a little low. I've got it as loud as possible. This is a low clip. Let's play this one. This one's got more views. That's better. Opera.
Yeah, that sounds like more of an opera version.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I'll take it under advisement. I do like Truther song as well, but that's definitely powerful. So what's new? How you been? How's the East Coast of Canada? Have you turned things around? Is the plague over or what?
Well, you know what? All the mandates are dropped here. Everyone's still wearing their masks. Everyone still has Ukrainian flags on their porches. Gee, I don't even know where so many people were able to get Ukrainian flags so quickly. I guess they can.
Yes.
I guess they all ordered it off Amazon. Amazon must be making a killing off these people.
Yeah, exactly. That's incredible.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, it's been pretty good.
Nothing much has changed here either.
No.
There's a ton of masking, and then there's already people, or some people, or maybe it's one person that's agitating for them to be brought back, and we just dropped the damn thing. So who knows what's going on?
Wow, unbelievable. These people, they're unbelievable. Just today, I went about an hour ago, I went to pick up my daughter, and there's, you know, students walking on the side, and the Indian students walking here on the side of the road. I guess they were going home, and they're all masked up outside. Like, it's like, I'm like looking at them, shaking my head. I'm thinking, what the hell's wrong with you, man? Like,
well, it's just called psych driving and conditioning for sure. So they're stuck.
Oh my God. It's an absolutely incredible, incredible. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying. I would have never believed it if I didn't see this this is actually a great learning lesson on psychological operations, on how to, how to see, you know, the behavior of, how to psychologically manipulate somebody and put the fear into them and actually see it in real time as everything's unfolding. It's absolutely incredible. And they go from one thing to the next. That's the thing that blows my mind, is they go from COVID right to Ukraine, and they're all marching to the drum of, the Ukrainian war. It's absolutely incredible to see. I would have never believed this, Ten. If you were to tell me all these events were going to happen, I would not have believed you. I wouldn't have agreed with the psychological part of it. I'm like, really, that many people are going to go along with it? Yep. I would not have believed it if I didn't see it with my own eyes. Incredible.
Yeah, we're watching PSYOP in real time. It is fascinating. It's an amazing time to be alive, isn't it?
Oh, it's a great time to be alive. I feel bad for, certain segments of the population that are obviously suffering financially and, in other ways as well. But, to stand back as, a junior fakeologist to look at all this, it's absolutely amazing. It's incredible what I'm witnessing here.
Well, if you're feeling really bad about the other people financially, we can redistribute your wealth.
No.
More egalitarian society.
I feel bad in the respect that this is all done on purpose, of course, right? Mm-hmm. So like it's not like it was an accident or some sort of a market fallout or whatever. This is absolutely done 100% on purpose. And these people, and like I said before, these people have no idea what's coming. It's going to be bad when that day comes, which is about two and a half years from now. It's going to get pretty crazy here. That's for sure.
But we have 2.5 years now to wait. It's not next week or not next month.
No. I spent all weekend looking at my long-term charts It'll be mid 2024 into 2025. That's when it's going to happen. That's when it's going to go down. I told you guys this on a previous podcast. That's my prediction.
What's going down?
The absolute financial collapse will be coming in 2024.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And they're going to replace it with something.
You're right. They're going to replace it with a new Canadian dollar, the new Fed dollar. I don't know if it's going to be a world currency, but it's going to, each country will still have its, you know, fiat, you know, it'll be money printing all the way. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's, you know, that's what's going to happen. It's, we're going to see massive devastation in a couple of years. Absolutely. 100%.
Well,
yeah.
I've heard somebody said we're going to, an interim step will be regional currencies. So North America will have one, South America will have one, Eurasia will have one, and then they'll merge if all that works out. What do you think of that?
It's possible. It's possible that, you know, that would I would probably have an agreement with that in a very, very long-term plan. That would probably be, I would suspect, a 50-year, at least 40 to 50 years away, by the time you actually get a one world, digital fiat currency. You know, these are all baby steps they're taking in that direction. And these things take years to implement. You know, you can't just, you know, as easy as that sounds to everybody of, oh yeah, we're just gonna, you know, have a reset of the currency and blah. These things all take steps to do. That, you know, it's not like a one shot deal type of thing where it's, you know, oh, next week it's all gonna happen. No, these kind of things take years. But they're definitely going in that direction. And every event that you guys see happening, whether it's COVID, Ukraine, whatever, they're utilizing these things as a step towards that goal, towards total control of government and money and all this kind of stuff. So it's going to happen. I mean, Mike in the Night called me the other day. He's a bit of a in a panic. He had some callers call in and they don't know what to do, and they're going to get the Harley Davidsons and the motorcycles going down to Ottawa in the summertime instead of the truckers this time.
Right.
So I told him, I said, look, let's get one thing straight here first. The trucker convoy didn't do anything. All right. There's only actually one golden nugget that it actually did.
It gave hope.
Well, it gave hope, but they got, like, again, you got the wrong strategy. I told him, stop with the nonsense. Stop with, you guys are key. The strategies that you guys are always implementing, you know, this Ottawa thing and truckers, the equation that you guys are putting forth always includes the police. You have to have a solution without the police. That's how you beat these people. It's a central banking issue, so you have to come at it through a central banking way. Not a health way. This is not a health issue. It's a central bank issue. So he said, he was asking me, so what do you think we should do? I said, honestly, if it was me and I was a Pat King, let's say, where I had an influence on so many Canadians, you know, whatever, hundreds of thousands of Canadians across Canada, what I would do is the great Canadian bank run. I would destroy them before they destroy us. So if it come October, if they start with their bullshit of lockdowns in Ontario, Nova Scotia, British Columbia, all these places, and they start mask mandates, you know, and they start everything all up over again, I would tell them, you guys got 30 days. You don't stop all this in 30 days, we're taking all our money out of the financial system. We're going to collapse the whole thing ourselves. That's mm-hmm. it. We're going to destroy you guys. And that in of itself is the one thing, absolutely the one thing that they fear the most. That is one of the reasons why they want to go to a digital system, so the people don't have that power to go walk into a bank and take out all their money. You see, the problem here with the trucker convoy was a lot of people like you had to work, right? And then there was people who were, yeah. you know, they're scared, they're shy. They don't want to go to Ottawa. They don't want to get in trouble. They don't want to get ticketed. You know, they don't want to go through all this drama. But at the end of the day, it's very simple for millions of Canadians, no matter where you are in Canada, to take a 5-minute walk to your bank and ask for all your money. That's it. They're done. If that happens, they are finished. I've spoken to numerous traders. Actually, on the weekend, I spoke to two of them in the United Kingdom. They agree with me. That's the best thing to do, is go at the beast right to the heart. And these guys have been trading for like 30 years, man. They know banking system in and out. They said the best way to stop this in its tracks is to take out all your money. That's it. Destroy. You know, how did Bernie Madoff come down? He had a $20 billion hedge fund, you know, of course, with feeder funds on the side. But how did he come down? Well, it all started when the 2008 collapse. It was a Ponzi scheme. So what happened yeah. was 2008 collapse happened, and all his clients wanted their money. They wanted their money out. They wanted liquidity. And he couldn't provide that. That's how that all started. That's how he went down. Yeah, that's how he went down for the count. So this whole monetary system that you guys are seeing here is no different than a Bernie Madoff. It's a Ponzi scheme, right? So the best way to do it is take out all your money. That's it, across Canada. If I had that, I told Mike in the night on Saturday, you guys got to start coming together, all the podcasters across Canada, and put the message out. If they start with this bullshit again, come the autumn time, October, that's it. No truckers, no motorcycles, no nothing.
We're
walking
bank
for banks.
Withdrawal.
The great Canadian bank run. I even told him those words, and he said, "Do you mind if I have you on my podcast so you can explain this?" I said, "I don't mind coming on, but I'm not coming on with my real name. I'm coming on as Bankster X."
Right.
So, because another problem here is the police and the central bank people, they knew who Pat King was and all these people are. So when you guys got to do stuff like this, if you guys got to do it under you know, fake names and all this, so they don't know who you are, right? So they can't, it's going to be a much more difficult time for these people to sort you guys out. The secret to all this, trust me, and I've said this many times before, is to take out the great Canadian bank run. Destroy them before they destroy you. That's it. And you threaten them because the Jordan Peterson character, mm-hmm, mentioned that from one day to the next, we didn't hear anything else about freezing bank accounts, Trudeau. And the reason why was because they had a mini bank run and they had to stop it in its tracks. They were scared. See, the bankster guys started, TD and Royal Bank of Canada and all these guys started calling Trudeau and saying, "Hey, you're threatening freezing all these bank accounts. These people are walking into our banks, starting to take out money. We can't do this. You know, the whole system is going to collapse if these people start doing this." And that's why from one day to the next, I didn't hear anything else about freezing the bank accounts. Nothing. I mean, they still have Pat King in jail and, a couple other, people, his sidekicks, whatnot. But the secret to all this is hit them where it hurts. It's a central banking issue. Go at them in a central banking fashion. That is, and that way you eliminate the police. You eliminate fear from the people, and that's it. And everybody can do this. You could just walk down to your bank and say, "I want all my money," and they're done. They will be destroyed if you do that. If hundreds of thousands of Canadians across Canada did that, this place would shut down in a couple of days. They wouldn't know what to do. But that's it.
The problem is, what if most Canadians have a negative bank account, so they can't take anything out? That's another thing you have to think about.
1 million people showed up to Ottawa. Out of those 1 million people, and then you had, of course, you had, hundreds of thousands of people across Canada supporting the trucker rally. Can you imagine for a second if all those people took, even if they only had $500 in their bank account, if everybody from coast to coast took out all their money?
Mm-hmm.
Ab, it would destroy the banking system. They don't have that liquidity on hand. They do not have that liquidity on hand to do that.
But it just seems like the banksters, the central banksters, have unlimited liquidity. They just make it up. But how else can we have borrowed almost $1 trillion more dollars, or $600 billion more dollars in Canada? Where'd that come from?
Yeah, they can print it. They can print it, but they don't have it in cash. That's the problem.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, that's the problem. You can print this. Listen, you can print. I can go print. Me and you can go print $1 trillion right now on our computer screens. But what happens when 100,000 Canadians start going to the ATM machines and taking out all their money?
That would just be a physical limitation. I still don't think it's going to bring down the banks. Okay, they can't supply the paper right away, but.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And you start wire transferring. And then, because what they're going to do, they're going to do it in steps. Because once they see all these people starting to take out their money, boom, they're going to put $100 withdrawal limits on everybody all across Canada. Yeah. And then what you got to do is you got to do wire transfers out. That's it. Wire transfers, any kind of way to get that money out of that account. Mm-hmm. That's it. And it will literally destroy them. They will not be able to handle that pressure.
What would we put it in? Would we just buy gold, or?
You could take it out. You can buy gold. You can make hard asset purchases. Mm-hmm. You can send the money out of the, if, let's say, for example, you're like myself, I have a Portuguese bank account in Portugal. I can wire transfer it. I can wire transfer my money to Portugal. I can wire transfer it to an offshore account. I can wire transfer it to PayPal. That's it. Just wire transfer right out of the
PayPal, but okay.
Yeah. Bitcoin, PayPal, whatever. Cryptocurrency. It's just it's just incredible that you know, you have to really go at this through a banking way. Go at them through a banking. I was on the weekend on the phone almost all day with these guys. Wow. They agree with me 100%. The one way to ruin them is ask for your money, get the money out of their financial system. And if millions of Canadians across the country did that, they would be done. Yeah. And if you want to compound the problem even more, there's a second step to that. Not only are you withdrawing your money from the banks, but now you don't pay none of the loans either. That's it. And it would destroy them. Yep. Mm. A two-pronged approach. That's it. And if everybody did that, they would have no choice but to do what the Canadian public wanted them to do, because then the financial system here would be a disaster if that happened here. And they know that. They know that that can happen here. And one way for them to escape that problem is to go digital and track everything you do. You see, they're smart. They're not stupid, right? They're hoping that you guys don't catch on how to destroy them. And you know, until they get the digital currency going, because once they get that digital currency going, that's it. It's done. Then they don't have to worry about bank runs anymore.
Well, I also think that maybe just switching over to some crypto, that yes. also is the enemy of them as well. That would seem a little more practical. So if we just put a ton of money into crypto, like Bitcoin, yeah, I know Bitcoin is traceable and you can, there's all kinds of, they have detection ways to look at it, but I don't know if they would have less control over it because I still don't think they own Bitcoin or they don't run Bitcoin, but that remains to be.
Yeah, as long as it's out of their system. You're right. As long as it's out of their system. So let's say, for example, I had 10 grand in my bank account. Let's say they only let me take out only 5. Well, the other 5, I'll just go right online on my computer and switch it over to my ShakePay account into my Bitcoin, or some into PayPal, as long as it's out of the bank, as long as it's gone, that's it. And if you got millions of Canadians doing that, oh my God, and that's the thing. That's the secret they don't want anybody to know. And you can't, mentioning the word bank run is almost like mentioning the word ivermectin.
Right.
They don't want you talking about that. They don't, you know, that is the devil word to them. They don't want, that is, I've noticed that they don't want to talk about bank runs. Right. So, and then on top of that, I looked through the history of bank runs all over the world, and it works. It works. It destroys them. It works. When all these people go asking for their money, it annihilates the banks. It annihilates them. And I looked at every single one from 1993, you know, current times, and it destroys them. Go look at it's right on Wikipedia, and you can go research it. You can go look at every single one, what happened in those countries, how long it took, all this kind of stuff. But generally, they are caused by, you know, some sort of panic, crisis in that country, you know, I don't think it's ever been done where people have gone in there intentionally to destroy the banking system. That's the difference.
Yeah. I'm looking myself at bank runs. That's definitely worth looking into for sure. That's probably doesn't have too much detail on it because they don't want anyone to really know that information, as you said.
No, they keep it low profile, right? They that's, you know, that's the kryptonite right there. This is the central bank kryptonite right there. If anyone wants the answer, there it is right there. It's a bank run. It's to destroy them, right? So
hey, you were talking about Pat King. You had inside poop that he'd be arrested, and you were right. Do you have any inside poop now? What's going on? Why is he still in there? Do we have political prisoners in Canada? That kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely. 100%. Now, this is of course assuming he's not an actor. He's not a player in the game. Yes. Let's assume for 1 second that he's a normal person like you and I. So if he's normal like you and I, then yeah, he's a political. I told everybody this. They're gonna bust his balls when they arrest him. I said it right on here. I said, when they arrest him, they're not letting him go. They're not. What do you think? He's going to be signed out on his own recognizance the next day? Absolutely not. They're going to keep him in there and bust his balls right to the end. And they're going to use whatever law or whatever law they can make up with or make stick just to keep him in there. Yeah. Just to keep him in there. That's it. Just to bust. Because they know at the end of the day, it's a bullshit charge at the end of the day. They know this, but it doesn't matter. It's what they present to the court. So instead of mischief, you know, it's going to be mischief plus this plus that, you know, this chart and all these charges. And, you know, all the while he's going to be spending 3, 4, 5 months in there doing dead time, doing nothing. Right. So, he had to see this coming. I did. I seen it coming. I knew he was going to get, I knew they were going to target all the leaders. I know. I said right away, I said, they're going to get all, you know, arrested and that'll be that. And then, but they're going to make examples. They're going to destroy their lives. They're going to try their best to destroy their lives. And that's exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. You don't think he's still in there because he doesn't want to submit to the crazy bail conditions that the other two submitted to?
I don't know. I'm not, into the specifics of, you know, why he's still in there, but, whether he,
yeah, we can only speculate.
I'm just speculating, you know, to me, they're busting his balls. They're going to put, like you said, 100 different bail conditions on him. And, he's looking at the bail conditions with a lawyer and saying, fuck that. I'm not obliging by all these different, tyrannical conditions. Absolutely not. So, this is all coordinated and done on purpose because they know he's not going to accept it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
So either way he's silenced, huh?
Have you heard anything from him in the last 3 months? Nothing. Zero. He's done. Have you heard anything from Kevin J. Johnston?
No, he's super quiet.
He's done. How about Tamara Litch? Have you heard anything from her? She's out.
No.
They know what they're doing. They know how to shut you up. But the key here is this wouldn't be happening to Pat King and all these people if they did their thing under assumed names and under the cover of darkness. They wouldn't have known. They would, and that's my point. They wouldn't have known any of this, right? So you got to be smart too, right? Because if you're going to be out in the public and you're going to come up with a plan to disrupt, you know, downtown Ottawa and border crossing points, dude, you got to be a little bit smarter. Don't tell them who you are. Put a mask on, a Guy Fawkes mask on or something, whatever kind of mask on. Change your voice. And give orders that way. So that at least that way they don't know your identity. And it makes it much more difficult for them to know who it is. That, you know, at least you're going to make them work. This way, Pat King didn't even make the police work one bit. They knew who he was. They knew exactly where he was. As soon as they found him, boom, the handcuffs went on. 2 seconds, right? I wouldn't have done it that way. I would have been, the first order of business is secrecy. That's the first order of business. If you're going to do anything like this, is don't let them ever know who you are. Keep it secret. The great Canadian
they would have found out, as you know.
It depends on how much computer expertise he has, right? Depends on hiding IP addresses, hiding his voice, and all this kind of stuff. You know, they would have known because he has a history of this already. They know his voice, you know, they know his channel, blah blah blah. But you know, like Tamara Litch, nobody knew who this Tamara Litch lady was before the Ottawa convoy. She didn't have to come out publicly. She could have came out, blacked out, you know, and changed voice and commanded orders like that through the internet, through a video without identifying herself. And the police would have never found out. And she could have did everything through VPNs. So that way it would have been much harder to track her IP address if they really wanted to get it. And you make them work for it. Don't make it easy for these people. Make it hard for them. Make it hard for them. You know, and that's what they got. They got easy peasy Japanese. They found him on the Ottawa streets and they arrested him in 2 seconds because they knew who they were. They knew who they were. That's the first rule that was broken. They didn't have secrecy.
I'm trying to find his Facebook page, but there's a million The Real Pat King pages here. So God knows which one it is. These trolls are so good at screwing things up. I know there was an update. And they said it's his family updating the page now, but I can't tell which one it is. I don't really feel like going through all of them, but he was public on purpose though. So he's hiding. But my main concern is if he is a real story, that means we have political prisoners in Canada and there's no outrage from it, which means that they will keep going with suppressing free speech or anyone that is showing any kind of dissent. That's bad.
And look at Pastor Art. Have you any of you guys heard of Pastor Art in the last few months? He came out.
Well, he's out.
Yeah, he's out, but he can't say anything. He's on a million.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, he's on a million different bail conditions.
Mm-hmm, yeah. Oh, is that right? He give an interview?
Yeah, but he gave an interview based on the his time in prison, right? On what the conditions were like, and he had prayer with the inmates and all this kind of stuff, and what he did in there. It has nothing to do with convoys and freedoms, and you know, you can't talk about that stuff.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And then stupid here just says he can't leave his house just to church on Sunday. See, what kind of life is that? What the hell is that all about?
And people can't leave your house? Canada should be outraged about that. It's crazy.
I you know, in the last 2 weeks, I've given serious consideration to giving up my Canadian citizenship.
Wow.
Very serious consideration. Yeah. I'm very serious.
You're disturbed by it as well.
I don't want any part of this. I don't want it. I don't want to live in a society. I don't want to bring my daughter up in a society like this. I don't want to be in a society where, you know what, if I have an opinion about something, I might be thrown in jail, or they're going to freeze my trading accounts or my bank accounts. Mm-hmm. And I just don't want any part. I looked into it, and for me to renounce my Canadian citizenship, I already have to have another citizenship, which mm-hmm. I do. I have Euro citizenship from Portugal. So,
yeah, but how can that be any better?
Yeah, but I don't have to go to Portugal. I can go somewhere else, right? Belize, Mexico, you know, wherever. It doesn't matter. But I definitely don't want to be somewhere where I'm going to be thrown in jail for a charge of mischief for voicing an opinion. That is definitely not a place where I want to live. I know that, right? So
find a place where you can speak.
It's ridiculous. It's crazy. It's absolutely this country is this and I listened to the what's his name, he's on YouTube, he's a really famous guy, he does a lot of thing with immigration and getting citizenship in different countries. Anyways, I think it's the Nomad Capitalist, I think his name is.
Oh, okay.
And he was saying that there's a record number in the last 18 months, record number of Canadians renouncing their Canadian citizenship.
Yeah.
And moving.
Well, I've heard emigrating out of Canada. Didn't hear about renouncing. But
totally renouncing their citizenship. They want nothing to do with Canada anymore.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Me neither.
I'm looking at Silence Voice Canada, your Facebook page. Did they reset the post? Because it seems to just stop as you're scrolling down.
Yeah, they probably did.
Oh, because I can't get past 3 or 4 posts, which is strange, unless I've clicked the wrong link.
Yeah, let me...
So maybe they cleared off some posts? Or
probably.
They just reset you. Maybe they just reset it.
I have no idea. I didn't even scroll down that far. But this is absolute, total... total tyranny. And you know, and if they come back with these COVID restrictions come the fall time again in October, September, I'm gonna have to give serious consideration to leaving. I don't want my daughter going through this anymore.
Yeah, but where are you gonna go? That's the main thing I'd like to know. Where can you go? And Canada is just first in the whole resetting of the countries, I would say.
Yeah, I mean, you know, but at least there's a variety of other countries that you can at least say what you want without getting thrown in jail. Jesus.
Well, the U.S. would be the last place.
Probably Florida.
You can speak out.
Hey, look, you know, as a Canadian citizen, I think even Euro, I'm not sure, but I'm allowed to stay there 6 months out of a calendar year, so 180 days. So, and then I can go spend 180 days in Colombia or Belize or Mexico or wherever. So. Mm-hmm. It's, you know, as long as it's not here, as long as I can, you know, feel free to say what I want to say without getting thrown in jail. This is crazy. Like my partner, I told you guys, she lives in Sarasota, Florida now. And, she, you know, I talked to her this past weekend and, she was telling me it's like a different world, man. It's like a different Canada is like a different world than Florida. Seriously. It's like a different planet. Like there's none of this nonsense going on over there. None of it. Right. So, you know, the funny thing is here in Nova Scotia, I can go to a Toronto Maple Leaf hockey game and take my daughter with 20,000 people in it with no masks, no social distancing. But yet when she goes to school here in Nova Scotia, she still has to put on a mask.
Oh, it's crazy.
It's just unbelievable to me. It's unreal. Like that, this, like these people are like, I don't want to deal with this anymore. I just don't want to, you know, I just don't want to deal with this nonsense. It's just these people are, they're very, you know, where this whole thing is going. I don't like where this is going. I don't like the feeling that I'm getting where this is going. It's, and it's too bad. There's a lot of good Canadians out there. And, but I'm not going to be, I'm not the only one thinking of leaving or renouncing Canadian citizenship. It's, you know, Canada was great for a while. It was really nice.
Yeah,
there's certain aspects.
But yeah, you know, you should stay around and fight. We need people to fight though, too.
You know what? I'll fight from a beach on my computer. Right. I'll talk to you guys from my beach. You know what I mean? Like, I just don't want to go to jail. You know, I don't want to go to jail and, you know, and, you know, have to deal with this ridiculousness. Why should I have to go to jail for having an opinion? You know, even if it's not a popular opinion. Right. So, but, you know, we'll see what happens. I seen on your Fakeology forum there, you got a poster of UFOs.
Yes. 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 I know that's one of your sort of sub favorite topics. I'm not really that interested in it, but mm-hmm. I do post about it because I know you're interested and I know you read the blogs. So I put a few things for you that you might be looking into. Or did you, so this was on Winter Watch, the UFO alien narrative is a psyop. And I also finally asked Tim Osmond of IPS what the name of the movie was that he was talking about. Mm-hmm. It's called Mirage Men. Have you heard of that one?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I watched the whole.
My browser can't play this video. Why? Oh, it's because it's on YouTube Movies. I'll have to download it then. It doesn't like my Brave browser, I guess. Can't scrape certain things out of my viewing, I guess. That's why. Yeah, Mirage Men was the one that was explaining how this was sort of a psychological operation by the United States Air Force.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah, I agree to a point on the propaganda actually that's coming out from the Pentagon, and not just from the Pentagon, from mainstream media news. As I, you know, all these things that I send you on it, mm-hmm. it's ridiculous. This is going to be another psyop. We're already mm-hmm. in the middle of it, or in the beginning stages of it, and they're telling, you know, they're already starting to tell the public that they're a threat to our airspace. That they're hanging out over the nuclear bases and all the, and, you know, getting everyone scared. And here we go. Here we go with the UFO fear. You know, 10, 20 years ago, you would never hear mainstream media talking about UFOs. And all of a sudden, the Pentagon comes out with all these, you know, F-18 fighter jet, computer things that these F-18 fighter pilots were following these UFOs. And they don't know what they are. They've never seen them before. They were tracking them. The SS Nimitz out in San Diego is tracking these guys. Like, it's the fear campaign is already starting. Here we go. So would it surprise me in 10 or 20 years if we had a UFO incident to scare the general public to print trillions more of dollars for, you know, for outer space protection? No, it's not. It's not going to surprise me one bit. This is what they're doing. They're getting you guys all prepped and ready to be scared of UFOs in the air. I watched just the other day. I think I sent it to you. A documentary on UFOs, and it was Channel 7 Australia, the most mainstream channel probably in all of Australia, did a 90-minute thing on UFOs, and it was all about how they're a threat to the airspace, and they spoke to Pentagon officials and all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Was that the one? Above Top Secret, the technology behind disclosure? No, that's
no,
else.
No. I was another one. I think I sent you. It was a night. If you look on YouTube, I think if you punch in Channel 7 UFO documentary, it's a 90-minute documentary. I think they're Australian, and they go through all these incidents all over the world. These UFO contact incidents, specifically over nuclear bases in the United States and Montana. So here we go with the fear campaign.
This must be it.
Yeah,
Even the Pentagon admits it's true.
The Pentagon officials. There's numerous officials in the upper echelon Pentagon that came out that said, yes, they are real. We don't know what they are. Officials on the USS Nimitz carrier came out. The military guys came out. Yeah, they are true. We have video of them. We don't know what they are. They're impeding on our airspace. This could be dangerous. We're going to keep monitoring the situation.
But do you believe that?
It's all nonsense. It's all ridiculousness. Okay. To think that UFOs are here to, first of all, these UFOs that you guys are seeing, that the Pentagon, that when it shows those F-18 fighter jets following these UFOs, they can't keep up with them and all this kind of stuff. Are those UFOs they're following real? Yeah, they're real, but they're not theirs. They're ours. They're our technology, and they're telling you guys that they're from outer space. That's what they're doing. So do we have anti-gravitic technology here in the United States? Of course we do. They figured out anti-gravity a long time ago. This is nothing new. So they, if they develop that kind of technology, they can do whatever they want. They can scare the shit out of you guys with that technology. You know, I think it's going to be in 10, 20 years, it's going to be something along the lines where you're going to have a UFO shoot down a commercial jet airliner. It's going to go something down like that, where they're going to scare the shit out of everybody. And then they're going to say, stay indoors. We got to print trillions more money. We need space security, which is going to be really more space surveillance. And that's what they're, and really that's what's going to happen. So they're already, because I'm looking at every documentary that comes out. I'm looking at every briefing that comes out from the Pentagon. And every single one of them, there's not one, every single one of them has a fear component to it, that we don't know what they are. They're intruding on our airspace. And, and we have to do something about it. That's the narrative that I'm getting from almost every single mainstream news media outlet and Pentagon officials.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. Well, like I said, I'm not really a believer in it. So.
And by the way, the discussion that we had about people crossing into the United States without the U.S. U.S. Customs and Border, without them checking for vaccine passports. That's actually, you were correct on that, because there's three people here that I know that every single one of them drove across, and U.S. Customs didn't ask one of them.
Yeah, and the question is, if you get pulled into secondary, which most people do not, do you still get a free pass? That's the question that everyone wants to know, so I don't know.
I always get pulled into secondary.
Oh, is that right? Okay.
Oh, last time I went across, I went with a girl who never been to the United States, and this was in Toronto. Oh,
okay.
I drove across into Buffalo, and... So they let her, I had just bought a convertible BMW Z3 at this time. And so they told me to pull over into secondary. And then the guy said, she's okay. She can just sit over here. And you have to go through those doors over there. And boy, did they grill me for an hour and a half in Buffalo.
Oh.
At the Buffalo border. Yeah. An hour and a half I was there. Yeah.
What for? What was the reason? Did they tell you?
What are you doing? What are you coming over here for? I said, she's never been into the United States. I said, we're just coming over to grab a pizza and then come back to Toronto, like literally within an hour. Because she just wants to say that she was in the United States. And he's like, and they didn't believe me at all. They're like, you just want to come over for an hour to buy a pizza and go back. I'm like, yeah, honestly, seriously, she's never been here. And they didn't believe me at all. They said, what do you do for a living? I said, I'm a paramedic. And they said, right. Who do you work for? I said, Toronto EMS. And I showed them my Toronto EMS ID, and they said, do you mind if we call Toronto EMS to confirm that you work there? I'm like, no. I said, no, you're not calling them. For what?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, they wanted to call Toronto EMS, yeah.
Oh, and you wouldn't let them do that?
No, I told them, no, absolutely not. You're not calling them.
Oh, that would definitely slow them down then.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't want them calling. I had an incident in Newfoundland where I had a speeding ticket near Clarenville somewhere, and I was going to Marystown, and the guy pulled me over, and the RCMP copper pulled me over, and he said, oh, wait 1 minute. he says, where are you going? I said, Marystown. He goes, how come you have Nova Scotia plates on? I said, because I work in Marystown. I do 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off. I said, I'm a paramedic. And he's like, oh, he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. So he goes back to his car and he's taking really long. And he took like half an hour. He's in his car and he just leaves me on the side of the road there. And I had a, I was driving a Dodge Viper convertible. And
oh, you like your convertibles.
Oh yeah. So he comes back to my car. He gives me my license and he just lets me go just like that. He didn't give me a ticket or anything. Right. So I thought, oh, okay, that was cool. Right on. So I get into Marystown and I go to the ambulance station there. And there were two paramedics there, and they're like, hey, were you pulled over by the RCMP in Clarenville? And Clarenville is about two hours away from Marystown. And I was like, yeah. I go, how the hell do you guys know? He goes, because the RCMP called here confirming that you were a paramedic that worked here. I was like, no way. And I was pissed that they called. I see, I don't like that underhanded shit, right?
Like, yeah.
I called RCMP. I go, what the hell are you guys doing calling my work? To confirm that I, you know, and then so the reason that they gave me was because I had out of province license plates, they get a lot of problems with people coming from Nova Scotia and other parts of Canada into Newfoundland, smuggling cigarettes, drugs, and all this kind of, so they had to make sure that my story right. like, was, you know, was straight, that I was telling the police officer.
Right. Well, they got nothing else to do anyway, but protect the corporate policy interests.
Yeah. Yeah. Protecting the central banks. They're paid yeah. by the central banks. Right. Yep. So
yep. But protect business interests, that's what police are for. Police.
Oh, but the US Customs guys, when I was in Buffalo, there was three of them there. The supervisor, were you ever charged with a criminal offense? I said, I don't know. I said, you guys got your computer. I go, why don't you tell me? Right? I go, you guys have all my information there. You ran my driver's license. You have everything. So you know, tell me if I have a criminal record or not. What's popping up on your computer? And oh man, I was busting their balls on purpose. And they wanted can you believe they wanted to call Toronto EMS to see to confirm that I worked there? Like it's crazy, man. These people are nuts, man.
Well, you know, but they're protecting the border. So let's go back to finances. How's oil? What's your prediction on that? Is your
we're gonna go sky high. We're seeing a retrail. Let me just bring up my oil chart here right now.
Are you still hot on oil?
And oh yeah, oh yeah. Well, this is just a minor retracement you guys are seeing right now. This is gonna go to the moon. I mean, nothing goes straight up. Nothing comes straight. You know, very rarely comes straight down. But you know, on the way up, this is a long term retracement. So if I go look at my daily chart here.
And you have an update on the ruble and the collapse of the petrodollar.
Yeah, this look, the ruble is slowly going to gain strength, and it's already gained strength in the last 30 days relative to where it was when it initially first dropped. Russia's just going to get stronger. Don't forget, he who owns the energy rules. Right? That's a simple concept for everybody to understand, right? So over the long term, next few years, Russia's going to do very well. They're going to be in a very well.
Canada green lights $12 billion deep water oil. Wow, that's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, Canada. A lot of the pipelines and oil companies here are not even Canadian. How come we're still paying almost $2 a liter in gas when Canada is one of the largest, you know, oil producers in the world? I think third or fourth largest oil producer in the world, if I'm not mistaken. So, they're owned by other interests, whether they're Chinese or U.S. interests. Our oil, our Canadian oil is not for us. Very little of it is for us.
Yeah, yeah, right? But it doesn't seem like any nation has any access to their own.
Yeah, their but own. If you go, if when I spend time in Abu Dhabi and Dubai and friends of mine have worked in Saudi, when I was in Abu Dhabi, it was like 30 cents a liter there for gas. So obviously they're giving back to their people. They're helping their people out. And Canadian oil prices were always high, even at that time when I was there. So it's you know, like they don't care here. That's what I'm saying. This country doesn't care about its own citizens. I just heard, when was it? Today or yesterday or whatever it was, that they're paying for the Ukrainians to come over here. They're paying, giving them jobs, giving them free health care, free dental care. Free everything. I'm like,
well, that's well known for many, many, many immigrants. That's they want to resettle the country.
Yeah, it's crazy.
And Mike
talks
about that a lot. Mike in the Night. I like Mike in the Night, and he really goes into that, and he's been talking about that for years.
Yeah, I can't, like, I shake my head at all this, man. I'm like, can't we just be normal for like a day? Can't we just,
no.
Can't the government just be normal for like a little bit, you know, and printing money to give to the Ukraine? You know, I found out the other day the United States government, since to the year 2014, has printed $40 billion, and they've given it to the Ukrainian government. $40
billion. $40 billion just for Ukraine?
Yeah, just for the Ukraine since 2014. Unbelievable.
Okay, because Israel gets $3 or $4 billion a year as well, or maybe it's $11 billion a year.
It's crazy. How come the people don't have any say on you know, where all this money's being printed? How come nobody has any?
Because
you know,
in the U.S. it's the world currency, so they use it as a tool just to spread influence throughout the world. That's how they conquest.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
how they keep their dollar in demand. They literally give it away to use to buy back U.S. products. That's a Ponzi scheme too, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And we get no say in the matter. Like, take for example, Halifax, Nova Scotia shares money to give to Sydney, Nova Scotia, the Cape Breton Regional Municipality. So in the last little while, you know, we got something like, I don't know, an extra $8 or $9 million in the budget. Guess what the mayor of Sydney, Nova Scotia is going to do with the $8 million? Guess what she wants to do, this idiot? She wants to build a library.
Yeah, you got minor issues going on there.
Unreal, man. These people, it's just one thing after another, man. That's why I sometimes I need to tune out of these, tune out of this new stuff, because it's just incredible. And this inflation, Mike in the Night was talking about inflation the other day. And I told him, Mike's just going to get worse. It's not going to get any better, right?
Well, just based on all the money they're printing, for sure, it really has nothing to do with anything else, does it? It's all about the amount of dollars chasing around the same number of goods. When there's billions and trillions of extra dollars flying around, it just drives up the prices. I was just looking here on Fakeologist forums, and everyone who listens should make sure you register at Fakeologist forums. That's where I want to put all my articles. Just looking at some statistics, and there's a thread called compulsory vaccine articles that Rachel seems to have started and is maintaining, and it's 11,000 views. It's sort of an anomaly of all the forum posts. So well done, Rachel. I guess it's a couple of years old, but it's just a thread on all the stories about compulsory vaccines. And honestly, I'm not really afraid of the digital currency and the digital as much as I am about the potential mandatory compulsory vaccines, because I think that is definitely, there's definitely evidence, as I talked to Frank today on the audio chat, of an increase in deaths. And we're talking a pretty large increase in deaths. And people are, it's pretty crazy that no one's really looking into it from outside our community. I don't think there's any awareness of what's happening.
People have no clue. They got no clue.
And people that die young or early, or whatever illness they had is exacerbated or flares up, they just don't see the connection with the vaccine, which is too bad.
Yeah, and a lot of them around here anyway, they don't seem to care. They really don't seem to care or give a bother to it or question anything. And I'm thinking, these people are nuts. They're absolutely, there's no, of course they're nuts. They're driving around with a Ukrainian flag on their car.
Yeah, they're programmed. They're easily programmed, easily told what to do, what to think. But make sure you guys go to the forum, sign up, and just take a look. That's where there's a lot of good material here. And really encourage people to take a look at our EGI forum as well. It gets a lot of action. Mr. E is posting there now. Mr. E is, I've told him to maybe try and put as much as his material over here on the forums. And it's pretty fast and it works well. And so far, we haven't been shut down on the Discord, which is good. But Discord for anyone to find information, and you have to be logged in to look at it. And you don't have to do any of that if you are on the forum. So the forums are quite busy. So it's separate from my blog, everybody. Two different logins. And yeah, take a look at that. I'm pleased with it. And there's some really good information. Really good information. You can also subscribe to the blog with an RSS reader. And that's another great way to read the blogs if you don't want to go to the actual web page. I don't put much emphasis on the app. At first, I thought the app was a great idea, the Tapitoc app, to access the blogs. But the problem is it doesn't have the same features as the web page. And the web page formats quite well on any kind of phone, smartphone, or tablet. And then you can have all the features and all the emojis and quoting techniques. So I'm just happy. I think the emphasis on apps is misplaced. I think a lot of developers out, they can do just as much through a plain old web browser as they can with an app. The only thing I think missing is the alerts. People are addicted to notifications on their phones. And I guess a web page can't alert in the same way as an app. But other than that, the web page, when you're trying to read the forums. And you posted on the forums before, I think, Tiago. So you have some, you've participated a little bit on them.
Yeah. When I got a little bit of time off, I usually do. But these last couple of weeks for me have been pretty busy. I've been working on a new Forex trading system that I've been testing out here. So I've been like super, super busy with that, keeping an eye on this new system that I've developed here. So, you know, things,
that's good.
Yeah, things are looking good. But financially, look to oil. It's going to skyrocket. We're just seeing a minor, what we call retracement, which is normal. And you will see this going a lot higher. Biden just unloaded for the next 180 days, 1 million barrels per day out of the strategic reserves, which is not going to...
Where did he find them?
It's not going to do
Where are these reserves? That was a good question somebody asked.
I believe they're in Louisiana and in Texas as well.
They really have that kind of storage capability where they store that kind of volume?
I don't know. I do know the one that I seen in the state of Texas was huge, was a massive, you know, they had, you know, I don't know if it could fit, you know, 180 million barrels worth of oil, but it certainly was pretty big. So I don't know what the capacity is.
Any other research that you've been doing lately?
You know, I just been researching a lot on whether I want to stay here or not, you know, and what different countries to move to, the positives, the negatives, you know, stuff like that. And just reevaluating what this whole trucker rally, you know, did and didn't do, and, you know, other types of strategies that, you know, we as people, as Canadians can, you know, fight these tyrannical measures that are probably going to be reinstated here shortly. I would suspect in the, you know, in the fall time. I'm hoping not. I'm not making a prediction on whether they're coming back or not. But, you know, my prediction for World War III, those war drums are beating loud and clear. I don't hear any talks for peace at all, not even a little bit. So
I'm not really paying attention to that. So maybe they're just it's just more strategy attention, I think, for the most part. They really want to restructure Europe and the Ukraine, especially. The thing I hear about the Ukraine is it's very corrupt. It's a money laundering center.
Yes,
so they really want to straighten at least half that country out. Maybe the western half, where the lawlessness takes place, where maybe they're more control over the east and always have been, and maybe they're setting it up to divide the country between east and west. That's quite well. So I think the west has all the food breadbasket area, which maybe the Russians aren't so keen on letting go to the west. So
yeah,
who knows?
I mean it's just an excuse to print more money to keep the Ponzi scheme going. And you know, this whole Ukrainian thing, it's going to be here for years. You know, it's like they love you a long time. You know, they love war, man. They loved Afghanistan for 20 years. They loved Iraq, Syria, Yemen. You know, they were so successful, successful at all these wars.
Yeah, I saw the thing. There was a meme, and the memes are so powerful. This is definitely the year or the decade of memes. That's how we communicate now. And it said, yeah, we spent, what, $10 trillion, and we replaced the Taliban with Taliban. Which actually is the point. The point is just to recirculate, launder money, make your buddies rich. They're really not trying to achieve anything other than to print money and spend it on their munitions and make lots of money. It's basically robbing the public.
Yeah, that's all it is. Yeah,
public,
they're robbing
money,
the future.
To private, and then you blow off a lot of weaponry with thousands of percent profit margin on, and you pocket all that money. So you're really just stealing public money.
Yeah, absolutely. You're making you're enriching your buddies. The central banksters get what they want. They're getting more control and power out of all of this. And then in the interim, they have to grease the palms of the people, you know, that helped them with this. And that's where the private corporations come in to make a lot of money for these people. So I think I read a an article today on some of the CEOs there of Moderna and Pfizer, or whatever. They made $100 million, $100 million in pay, and
they're just stealing money like crazy.
They're just stealing money, man. It's payouts and bribes, and it's a criminal.
And that's kind of what this video on the screen is. The day the Prime Minister of Canada wanted to meet with me, this is Stefan van der. Oh man, what's Stefan, the guy who was on last night. Stefan Verstappen. It's a hard name to remember. And this is a really interesting story about how he just explains how governments, socialist communist governments, which is what we have in Canada, they never try to solve a problem because it's not in a government's best interest to solve a problem and then just dissolve a department of the government, because governments always just grow. They don't exist to shrink. And this is a really good true story that Stefan posted a few years ago, and I posted here, where he just explains how government agencies actually work. And if they are actually successful, what they would do, what they're trying to achieve with their agency, that they can't be that. They can't be successful, because then they'd shut down if they achieve what they want to achieve.
Yeah, military industrial complex. They're getting bigger and bigger. Government never gets smaller. You're right.
Yeah. And that's why they can never solve a problem they're out to allegedly solve. And that's why governments don't solve problems, and they can't solve problems, because that would mean they would have mission accomplished and then they could close their ministry. It doesn't happen that way, or close their department. They just grow and grow and grow. And I think the biggest, grossest example of that was the Department of Homeland Security. It didn't exist before 9/11. And now look at it. It's a monster. It's a monster. Have you seen the building?
Yeah, well, I mean, you look at that. You look at the CIA. You look at the DIA, Defense Intelligence Agency. You look at all these wings of government. They just keep getting bigger and more powerful. And that's the way it's going to be. So, I mean, it's incredible. We're seeing the same thing here in Canada. The governments are just getting more powerful, destroying people whenever they want to, for whatever, you know, for whatever reason. It's incredible.
The annual budget of the DHS as of 2020 is $52 billion. And it didn't exist before November 25th, 2002. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
September 11th made it born.
Unbelievable. Yeah, so basically what you're seeing is all these quote-unquote events that we're seeing, they're just a step towards the central bank plan. More tyranny, more control, Big Brother. That's all it is. No matter what the event is, whether it's COVID, whether it's COVID, 9/11, or whatever, you know, Taiwan, or whatever is next, there will be another event.
And there'll be more draconian measures and a new super agency that will be created to administer whatever the new laws are. And yeah, Homeland Security is just crazy, crazy big. This is the headquarters in Washington of Homeland Security. I thought it was bigger than this. But yeah, this is on the Wikipedia page.
Crazy, isn't it?
It really is a monster. I thought the building looked a lot bigger than this. Maybe it was another building I was looking at. But all right, let's see. Any more questions in the live stream chats? Live stream, we're on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Twitch, DLive, and FakoTube. And good to see that we have the regulars mainly on YouTube and DLive. And we also have quite a few people on FakoTube, which I'm grateful for. Thank you, guys. We got more people on FakoTube tonight. There is a FakoTube chat as well. And the good thing about the FakoTube chat is you can put links that people can click on. And Canley Stubrick put a link, I think it's to tonight's YouTube channel, or links that people can click on.
So it's a link to the YouTube show.
Okay. But you don't actually need to be in there. You can do it through FakoTube. Yes. So do we have any quick stories that I can... Yeah, this is a good video. I meant to put it on in my Vax directory here. It's called the DTP Vaccine Roulette. This is a documentary, and I always want to have a show piece where I mention vaccines and vaccine injuries, because this is still happening today for people that don't realize. And this is an old documentary from 1982 talking about the DTP, the diphtheria tetanus pertussis shot. And they were picking on with the P part of the DTP shot, saying that's the dangerous part. But really, you know, it's really sick that for the trying to eliminate a fairly serious cough, the pertussis, where babies, when they start coughing, it can be very concerning. But it doesn't, for the most part, it never killed the babies. Not nearly as many were or killed from just having that whooping cough as they were from the DTP shot, which caused all kinds of paralysis and vascular ischemia that causes all kinds of illness.
Yes.
From these shots. So these documentaries, my documentaries have been going on for a long time. So the truth has been out there, but people just are not seeing it, or it's not registering, or they just think it just happens to some people. So
yeah, I think for the most part they think it just happens to other people and not me. But you know, at the end of the day, all this vaccine stuff is, at the end of the day, it's just, all it is just a poisoning, man. That's it.
Yeah
all of them, every single one of them, doesn't matter which one, it's just a poisoning. You're just putting shit in your body that doesn't need to be there.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
That is true.
Yeah, and I tried explaining this to a neighbor of mine, and she doesn't want to believe it. She doesn't want to. She's going to go take her booster shots, her flu shot, her whatever, tetanus shot, all these shots. And it's just incredible. They it's nonstop until they're in the grave. That's all it is.
Well, this is, yeah, and you can even tell your own parent, like this one here, Amanda. Have you seen...
Dad wasn't initially going
this
to
lady,
get
Amanda Forbes,
the vaccine.
She's a real crusader against vaccines.
Research on it's too new, and they came out and said...
And this is actually a well-produced, well-sounded documentary that somebody created on her. Mm-hmm. And apparently her dad, despite her trying to convince him otherwise, took the injection, and then he stroked out.
Wow.
And this is quite an interesting story, because her dad was a bit of an athlete back in the day. And when he got into the hospital, they wanted to let him die at the hospital. And she assembled a military style medical rescue mission, take her dad out of the hospital and take him home and take care of him.
Where was this?
In Ontario. She didn't see the hospital, but here, it's an amazing story, actually.
From the hospital. Are you coming to get him today? I said, no, I'll be there to get him on Wednesday. Do I need to bring a nurse in to escort him home? No, no. Do I need to bring anything to make sure he is transported safely? Oh, no, no. Okay. Wednesday comes. Team is here. You know, we've got them supposed to be picking Dad up at the hospital by 10 o'clock in the morning. And he's going to be here by 11:30. We've got all the equipment set up, all the oxygen, everything, you name it. We've got it. I get a phone call at 10:36. Oh, well, no, we can't send your dad in a transport. I said, what do you mean you can't send my dad in a transport? Well, you were supposed to supply us with a nurse, and you have to make sure that nurse is trained on suction. And I said, well, that's funny, because on Monday when I spoke with you, I asked you that specifically, and you said no. So what's changed? The only thing that changed from then to Wednesday was the fact that they found out he wasn't just coming home to die. He was coming home to get a chance. And they knew we were going to figure it out because they refused to give us his records. They refused to let us look at his records to determine what was going on in his blood, how high his levels were. And I sent the nurses in to go and figure it out. It was absolutely disgusting. I said, fine. I've rebooked the transport for 4 p.m.
Wasn't that crazy, Tiago? That she's doing this she's kidnapping her dad out of the hospital.
Unreal. Do you know what hospital this was at?
No, but I think she's based in maybe Kitchener or London, somewhere out that way. She didn't say, which I thought was kind of strange, that it would have been nice to know. But yeah. And I think that I looked into the whole story of how hospitals are being run now, and you might know about this, is where they have this position called, I think it's called an intensivist.
Yep.
And this is a person who determines who lives and dies based on the probability, positive outcome, costs involved. And they're really like a bean counter for a hospital.
Unreal. Unreal. It wouldn't happen with me. I would just march right in there and take my dad or my mom, and that'll be it. Yeah, that'll be very quick. I just call my brothers and walk right in there, and that'll be that. Nobody's stopping us.
It says an intensivist is a medical practitioner who specializes in the healthcare of critical patients, most often in the ICU. And intensivists are leaders of multidisciplinary terms of care providers to help coordinate, collaborate, and facilitate providing evidence-based outcomes. The team members. Yeah, so they really determine if this person is going to make it based on how much it costs to intervene and if the cost is worth the outcome. So they're really, I think the other way you could look at this is almost like a godlike position, where you decide who lives and dies.
Unreal.
And they made a pronouncement that her father really would have no quality of life, quality outcome. And that's why they only let her in the hospital to say goodbye to the guy.
Wow.
Otherwise, she couldn't get in because she's not vaccinated either.
Oh, that wouldn't stop me. I'd go right in. Walk right in.
Yeah, well, I think there'd be some sort of I think there's more security than one might think in hospitals now.
Yeah, that's okay. I'd call my brothers. Yeah, and we trust me. The mission would get accomplished. I don't care if they got 10 security guys there. It would definitely be accomplished.
Yeah. But I found it really ironic that this woman who's really speaking out against what's going on, the tyranny, her own father didn't listen to her and then gets caught. And she has to literally rescue him out of a hospital. So I just thought that was kind of strange that it happened to her of all people. But it just goes to show you can't even influence your parents sometimes, or most times. If they want to get the injection, they're going to do it. So.
Unreal.
All right. Well, thanks for joining. I think I'm going to end the show now. It's been about 90 minutes. I've been going overtime every night with different guests. So you're a regular, so we can always save it for next time if there's something else. But I think we covered the usual topics tonight, and people are up to date now.
Absolutely. No, if anything else happens, I'll keep you guys abreast. But right now, markets are quiet. Mm-hmm. Look for oil to skyrocket from, what is it now, 90? Well, it's 96 on my charts. Might be a little higher for Brent crude, maybe 99 or 100, but it'll go higher. It's not going to stay low. It'll go much higher.
In a way, like I just pointed out, this now all of a sudden Canada, that we're supposed to be against oil, now they granted approval for a big project, and at $100, Alberta oil is now in play. It's now worth investing in again, and maybe Alberta's going to be on a bit of a rebound because of that. So sometimes you think, well, this is sort of a backhanded way to get oil back in play again. You know, everything is complicated, isn't it, when it comes to why these powers that be do what they do? Because $100 oil is much better.
Oh yeah, it'll be. They got, you know, the central bank guys got some palms to grease in the oil industry, right? So that now we gotta increase the prices now to grease some palms to get stuff they want done. So you know, and it's not, yeah, it won't stay at $100 a barrel, that's for sure. It'll be skyrocketing to 200, maybe more. So we'll see what happens, and but it's definitely going higher, and yeah, we'll see what happens. But you heard it here. Look for that collapse in about 24 months. It's not going to happen next week. So nothing in the debt market, nothing else going on. But I'm signing out. It was nice to be here. Good, I'm going to go catch the rest. Yeah, I'm going to catch the rest of the Toronto Maple Leaf game.
Yeah,
and see what happens. And yeah, go Leafs. And
as you know, it doesn't matter what happens now. It's the playoffs, so really, it's sort of irrelevant. Once they get in and they bomb out in the playoffs, then the season ends very fast.
Yeah, I just like watching Austin Matthews killing it with the goal scoring streak.
That is true.
It's
you know what, we sometimes it's good to have these distractions, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And then the other kid there, what's his name? Mitch Marner. He's awesome. Yeah, really good.
Yeah. He doesn't even look like he shaves.
No, he looks like, you know what? He reminds me of a young version of Doug Gilmore. You know, very aggressive. Yeah, very aggressive type of guy, you know, good scorer, good on the defense. So I enjoy watching it. Leafs are my favorite team. So I hope there's no Montreal Canadian fans in the house.
No, they don't exist this year anyway. It's not nothing to worry about.
They're playing golf.
Yeah, they're done. All right, good show. Thanks, Tiago. We'll see you next time. And you can be reached at Facebook, or do you give out an email, or
they can reach me right on the Facebook.
But if they're not on Facebook, can they reach you? If they want to contact you?
If they want to contact me, they can email me, Tiago_H@hotmail.com. So
Tiago_H. Yeah. Because one of the things that I get annoyed with at different talk shows is they never tell how to reach the guests. And a lot of guests don't publicize how to contact them, and they don't make it easy. But sometimes people do want to talk to the guests. So yeah, I don't make the connection. So if you want to connect with Tiago, just email him directly.
Yeah, we can chat about whatever you want. I'm always I'm always around, unless I'm doing daughter things. And then on the weekends, I take time to myself because I'm, you know, up almost all week long. But this Saturday, for example, it's going to be 15, 16 degrees here in Sydney. So I'm going for a 2-3 hour bike ride. So nice. I won't be around in the afternoon, but in the evening I definitely will. But if you need anything, give me a shout.
Okay, great. Well, thanks a lot, and have a good night.
You too. Thank you.
All right, take care. Bye bye.
Bye.
There goes Tiago, and there goes me. If you like the show, fakeologist.com/donate. Don't forget, on Saturday morning, we have the Rick and Rollo show. Sunday, maybe Simon will show up. He didn't show up last Sunday. And we'll see what guests we can dig up for next week. Otherwise, we'll just stick to a shorter show and just cover the blog. Haven't covered the blog all week, but that doesn't mean there hasn't been blog entries. Fakeologist.com/blog. I usually make quite a few posts on there. All of it's pretty damn interesting. I'm not going to go over it now. I really encourage you to go look up Stefan van Verstappen there. He's got a ton of content. It's all really interesting. And I just listened to this, how it will go down in a dystopic 2030. Really good stuff. There's more av.fakeologist.com, where I put my non-fakeologist point of views up. There's shorts.fakeologist.com, where I put little things that I'm looking at on video without much commentary. And then, you know, there's FakeoTube. FakeoTube is where I post lots of stuff. And then there's the chat. You can see the chat from FakeoTube. And there's also so much more. There's the Discord, fake11.com/Discord. I'm going to try and put up two audio chats for tonight. And lots of content on Telegram, fake11.com/Telegram. And you can always email me at ima@fakeologist.com. If you got any tips or things you think I should look at, I will look at them. And don't forget the forums, fakeologist.com/forums2, where people are posting like crazy. Rachel, Dirty Benny, all kinds of good stuff there. So check it out, guys. All right. Everyone take care. Have a good night.